Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
And we're back. We are in a holding pattern currently, waiting for a Coach Chris Mack, a ACC Media Day. Oh, it feels good to be still talking about football. You got basketball right around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Listen, we can switch gears for a few minutes here because I do think moving into what is this? Oh, God, yeah. Some of the whatever. I'm not reading the text line right now. I just saw like two of them. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna just minimize that. I'm not even gonna read that today. But I think that Saturday. You know, we got the red-white game. So, I mean, the ACC Media Day is kind of like the kickoff to basketball. And you get – we've been so – the thing that stinks about being really aggravated about a season or even sometimes – well, really happy is better. Basketball kind of sneaks up on you. That's why I always say college football don't sneak up on you.
Right.
You're waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, college basketball kind of sneaks up, and you look up, and you're like, oh, crap. Like, we play an exhibition game in 16 days.
Yeah, because it is it's interwoven into football games, you know.
Right, yeah. Right. So, yeah, it's like, oh, man. So, yeah, when we get that, we're going to have Chris Mack. And I believe he brought Jared West.
Next week we got to do after the red and white, then we'll have enough information to do our 3-on-3-on-3 draft.
Yeah, I was gonna say Nick will get to be involved with the 3-on-3 draft now this year, so that'll be fun.
Is he gonna have a garbage squad?
Probably. Nick, he's busy right now, but yeah.
Y'all better be ready to help Nicky when we do the 3-on-3-on-3 draft because his team. He's gonna. First of all, he's going to find the Italian dude on the team first.
I know.
try to draft him. All right.
Let's go to ACC Media Day.
I felt for our guys, but we played really good basketball for majority of the season. But, you know, with the inability to practice at times and have our teams be ready conditioning-wise, we just weren't able to get to the point where we wanted, and that was to celebrate an NCAA tournament appearance and be able to play in the postseason, which was ironically taken away from all of us that made the tournament 2 years ago.
Thank you. Let's head back to the front row with Dan once again.
Well, we heard what Coach said as far as, you know, NIL a little bit, just what you guys think about it, you know, how you've kind of maybe gotten some information if the coaching staff has sat you down and how much you know about it, kind of how you want to utilize it, and if you felt like it was due time that it finally happened for players.
Malik?
You know, I feel like it was huge, you know, not only for us, but just college basketball in general. I feel like it's at a point where a lot of people are ready to go to that next level for that exact reason. So, you know, having the ability to, you know, make money from our name, image, and likeness while still playing in college basketball is great for the game, and it's great for us because, you know, a lot of people come from nothing, and you know, having the ability to play college basketball and also support your family back home is a blessing. So I think that is great for the game and it's great for us.
Yeah, I agree. I think NIL is a great opportunity for all of us. I feel like it was bound to happen at some point, and I think that it's a great change for college basketball. It definitely brings a different dynamic to the game, to the sport. But I think it's definitely beneficial to us as players, and it's going to help us with our brand. And, you know, I think it's going to impact a lot more. You know, there recently a lot of people have been skipping over college to whether it's go overseas, enter the G League, instead of playing that one season of college basketball or whatever it is, to try to pursue their professional career. I think that's going to help us out a lot from a college basketball standpoint. But I think us specifically as players, this gives us a great opportunity to profit off our name, image, and likeness and help brand.
Gerard, from the podium, you spent your years in high school and really up until this point, your college career in the state of West Virginia. So why the change of scenery? Why Louisville?
You know, I played 4 years of college basketball at Marshall University, and it was a great time. But I feel like after this 4 years, it was just a great opportunity for me to, you know, to try something new. And, you know, the grad transfer route was available. And through COVID, honestly, as bad as it was, it actually gave me this opportunity and this blessing. So entering the transfer portal and getting to hear from other coaches, especially Louisville, I just felt like Louisville was a great opportunity for me. So being able to play at this level was something I've always wanted to do growing up, and it's an opportunity of a lifetime. So it's definitely different than what I'm used to. Like you said, I've been in West Virginia my entire life, so to get out is different, but I'm excited for it. I'm enjoying it so far. So it's been great so far, and it's a great opportunity for me.
Malik, from the podium, you're not only a team co-captain, but you're the first three-time captain in U of L history. Comment on what this means to you.
You know, it means really a lot. You know, just to be the first name ever three times captain is saying a lot in itself. And, you know, Coach will tell you his first year here, we kind of had a team meeting where, you know, everybody had to sit down and, you know, talk about what we could do to help improve the team and how we could all get better. And, you know, my individual thing was maturity. So, you know, I kind of took that in, and I didn't feel like I was immature. I just, you know, couldn't show really. I didn't know when to really lock in, you know. So to the next three seasons, be voted as the team captain by my teammates, it was really good. And, you know, that was the biggest thing for me, just to show the growth from my sophomore year to my junior year and just holding that up today. So it's a blessing, and I'm happy that I'm the first three times captain ever.
Coach, what does Malik mean to a team that has so much diversity to it, given that he's got a little bit of age under his belt now?
Yeah, I joke with Malik all the time. And when I first met this guy, he was coming out of high school, and he came on an unofficial visit to Xavier with his mom, Natasha. They sat on my couch in my office, and Malik slumped down. I don't know if his eyes were open. And I remember when he walked out, man, I don't know if that kid's going to make it. And to be here on a podium with a guy that, as you said before, has been named a three-time captain at one of the most historic programs in all of college basketball, I couldn't be prouder of him. You know, personally, he's gone through a lot. I feel for him and what he's gone through as a player, through injuries, through disappointments, through rehab. Those days get lonely. It's just you and the athletic trainer. You don't feel a part of the team. Guys walk back into the locker room after practice. They don't joke with you about what happened in practice. You're just sort of by yourself. And I experienced that in college, so I have a soft spot in my heart for what he's gone through. But to answer your question, he means everything to our program right now. He's an everyday guy. He shows up, and he works his tail off. He holds his teammates accountable. He's got one of the biggest voices on our team. Not biggest impacts, biggest voices. And he does have an incredible impact, both on young guys and his peers. So I'm excited for him to be able to get to play his senior year without injury, knock on wood. He's had a great preseason. He's been probably the most impactful player in our program in all the preseason practices we've had. And I'm excited to watch how it unfolds for him this year.
Team, we'll go left side, just beyond that set of desks, first row of chairs. Sir, wave your hand, please.
Eric Crawford, WDRB. Coach Mack, so much new with this team this year, new assistants, so many new players. Have you ever had an off season like this, and what kind of mood does that bring to this group as you kind of get ready for the season?
Yeah, I think college basketball in 2021 is a lot about change. My first question here, whether it's name, image, likeness, transfer portal. I mean, rosters look totally different from one year to the next. I'm not here to say that's good or bad for college basketball. It's just reality. It's funny, though, because the rules have changed in terms of our ability to work with our players over the offseason. So we get 4 hours a week. We're on the court. We're practicing more than ever. And by the time we really reached October, I don't feel like I have eight newcomers. I know our fans probably do because they've never seen these guys play, and our first public scrimmage is on Saturday. But, you know, I feel like, you know, Jared's been my point guard for a long time now, and I feel like, well, Malik has been here forever. But You know, I think we got a great group. I think we have a hungry group. I've never coached 14 scholarship players. I think we have depth. We have shooting. So we're really excited to get this season underway.
Jared, finish us out. What do you think the similarities and what do you think the differences are going to be from the league that you just left to the league that you're coming into?
You know, I think the biggest difference is that the ACC is probably the best league in the country. And coming from Conference USA, that's definitely a jump and definitely an adjustment. There's some good players and some really good teams in Conference USA, don't get me wrong. But the ACC is definitely a different level. And I think that's where the biggest challenge and the biggest difference is probably going to be made between the two leagues, I would say. Similarities, you know, at the end of the day, it is basketball. So I feel like if I go about it the way I prepared before and I stick to that preparation, stick to my work ethic, stick to believing in myself, trusting my teammates, trusting my coaches, I think I'll be just fine. You know, it's definitely going to be some ups and downs, some challenges, some obstacles, but at the end of the day, I believe in myself. My coaches and my teammates believing in me, and you know, at the end of the day, it's basketball, and we want to win. That's the most important thing. So that's the ultimate goal, and that's my main focus. So whether it's in Conference USA or the ACC, that's my ultimate goal, is to win. So I'm just excited for the season, excited for this opportunity.
Louisville, thank you. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, Virginia is due up next.
All right, there you have it. Coach Chris Mack, Jared West, and Malik Williams as part of ACC Basketball Media Days. We're going to take a quick break and more Middays with Marcus Maben on the other side. You're listening to 93.9 The Ville.
Days with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Steve, did that give you any basketball energy or did that feel more like a formality?
A little bit of a formality. Kind of, I mean, you always get a few good stories out of there, but you're never going to get a lot out of, you know,
out of just
Media Day.
Cliche Media Day.
ACC Media Day especially, you know. So, I mean, it was you're just going to get a lot of, to me, at ACC Media Day, you're going to get more national reporters just wanting to know about, you know, they're going to ask everybody the same questions, yeah, the NIL, the stuff. So, I mean, it was a neat little story you told about Malik, you know, coming on the unofficial to Xavier. And kind of, you know, he didn't think Malik would ever make it in college. So, yeah, and then Malik's turned out to be a guy that I think will be remembered here for a while. So, it was, that's good, man. It was good. I am ready, though. I am ready to get there Saturday. I'm ready to get there Saturday. I'm ready to see this team actually play.
I want to see them run.
It's an entirely new team.
How many dunks does Marcus Maben need to see to feel better about this team?
Well, it's a shooting team, so we'll see. I don't know. It's a whole new team. I mean, who has come back? I mean, Sam's probably the only one that you're like, okay, I think we've seen him, and we'll see what he can do.
What to expect, and anything new will be a surprise.
But a guy like Jaylen, I mean, you've heard all the scuttlebutt all summer, you know, like, oh man, oh, watch this kid, you know, he's good.
Moving, filling into a position.
Yeah, you know, now he's playing a different spot. You know, JJ's kind of got the freshman-sophomore jump. Dre, freshman-sophomore jump, you know, like, let's see what they got.
I always do this, but it's always evolving. Most excited to see Steve Rummage. Who are you?
Oh.
Who are you feeling like right now?
Most excited to see.
I want you in this one too, Nikki, if you can.
I don't know if Mason will play. I'm not sure. I don't know where we're at with that.
So Mason is one of the top.
Ellis is probably my number one, though. But Mason would have been up there. If Mason plays, he'll be up there. To me, L. Ellis would probably be my number one.
I mean, you kind of took mine, but okay. People that follow the program way more than me still are telling me that for this team to go, it's going to go through him. So I'm with Steve on that one. Now, a secondary one, maybe Noah Locke. I just want to see if the shooting hype kind of lives up to everything. It would have been what's-his-face who just got hurt, but
Mike James.
I'll probably go with L. Ellis and then Noah Locke in that order. And let me replug my headphones back in because I can't hear you.
Mine's changing. Mine's ever-evolving. I think if today I had to answer that question, you know what I would say? Who do you think I would say, Steve?
Oh. I don't know. That's the problem with this team, man. I don't know. I mean, it's not a problem. It's a good problem. There's so many. Because, like, I can make a case for everybody. I'd like to see what Sidney Curry's got. I mean, I think he's got still got a little bit of a ways to go, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see JJ. I want to see what JJ's got. Let's see what you did over the summer.
How long would we have this conversation until someone said Dre Davis?
I think a long time.
You already know. You know what you're getting out of him.
No, yeah. I know, but I remember when we did when Steve. I think it was just Marcus and I. We were going through the matchups we want to see. We literally named everybody.
But those were matchups. Yeah, those were actual matchups. I think Steve, and I'm surprised you didn't jump.
But we threw a couple standalones in there too. Took us a little while, and you said that for Sam Williamson that he was the old toy.
Yeah.
You know, we knew what we were getting at him. Rebounding, decent mid game. You know, that's it. And we were more impressed with the shinier toys, the new ones that were coming in. But still. Everyone forgot about Dre.
Matt Cross.
It was good. Matt Cross? Yeah.
Matt Cross, the reason I'm picking Matt Cross, because I have to know how much pressure he's going to put on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if he can play,
mm-hmm.
or if he looks like I said, if I have confidence in Matt Cross, then I know he's... He's like the governor, you know. Like
Texter Mason's just got the ankle thing. Mm. I just thought everybody knew it. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he's just got the ankle thing. He's back. I mean, he's fine. He'll be fine.
Matt Cross. Because, okay, can you push Jalen to act right? Can you push Sam to act right?
Yeah.
Can you stretch a defense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you a money shooter? Mm-hmm. You know, just like Are you like I said, are you gonna Ryan McManus? You know what I'm saying? Can you really, at that size, you're gonna get looks.
Yeah, he's a big dude, man.
You're going to get looks from the corner.
Yeah.
If you can knock those down.
And his margin for error is so much bigger being the size he is. Mm-hmm. So like you can shoot, okay, where Ryan you can shoot from where Ryan couldn't because, like,
if you can shoot,
you know, I mean, I'm not comparing. I mean, Ryan was lights out. Like, I'm not trying to turn him into Ryan yet. But like, my point is, like, you know, Ryan may have needed 3 feet. You're going to need 1.5 because, you know, you've got, it's talking 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", right? I mean, yeah, big old dude. He shoots high. I mean, yeah, no, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, like I said, I want to know, is Matt Cross going to put pressure on JJ? You know, like, you know, I mean, hey, if JJ's out there, you know, up and down the floor, uh-huh. you know, like, he might put Matt Cross, you know.
I play at the four.
On side. Yeah, sure. Right. So I think Matt Cross is probably my number one guy that I'll just be, you know, when you sit down and you're just staring, like, through the warm-ups and just the movement and just.
Yep.
Okay, does he belong? When they do the warm-ups. You know, whatever little guarding, you know, 4-on-4 shell drills that they do. Like I'll probably be paying close attention to Matt Cross, number one.
Absolutely.
Sidney.
Yeah. I think that's another one a lot of people are going to watch. I still think he's got a little bit ways to go. before he's...
Because of the weight?
Yeah, and just...
I mean, the pick and roll is going to be tough.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I think he's going to struggle early with defending that, but we'll see. I mean, hey, but I'm interested to see him. That's what I say. I could go so many different directions. I'm curious. I've never really... I want to see Jared West play, you know? Like, okay, what's he got? You know, what's Noah Locke got? Like Nick was saying. I mean, you could go down the list. What's Roosevelt Wheeler? How's he going to play? You know, he's probably going to match up with Malik, you know. What's Gabe got?
After I saw the Rose press conference, yeah. I'm like...
Yeah, I know, but I mean, still, like, I mean, let's see what they got. Because some people, too, when you get into a game situation out there, you put them on the red-white game, then maybe come alive a little bit.
You know, Sydney's my number one candidate for that.
Okay, game time. Here it goes.
Yeah, who's your number one candidate who doesn't show it in practice but is going to be a gamer?
That's a good one, man. That's a good one with Sydney. Gosh.
Because I'm like, I bet he is struggling. Like, but when the lights go on.
Yeah, when he gets out there in front of the crowd, and it's like people are like, ooh, because he knows every time Sydney dunks, the crowd's going to go, ooh, you know, because he's just a big dude.
I don't even know if he knows it yet. He doesn't know we're starving.
He's not gonna fly through the air, but the whole goal moves. He's gonna punch and it's gonna you know, like
What if he breaks the glass?
I don't know if he's like that yet, but I mean, it took Trez 4 years of college basketball, 3 years of college
basketball. He weighs a lot more.
Yeah, but Trez has a lot more strength. Junior Trez, a little bit more strength than Sydney has.
Sydney's a big.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big dude. I know. I think it's going to be impressive to kind of see him. But, I mean, nobody's really even mentioned Malik.
Okay, yeah,
I mean.
But put it this way. If Sydney Curry's not out there dunking, coach, I'm coming for y'all. Because it's something y'all are doing.
Yeah, you're telling him not to dunk at this point. Like, that's the only explanation. You
listen, Ross, Chris, Mike.
Yeah.
I am going to personally blame y'all.
Let me ask you another question here. Because one answer I'm going to give is not a player. I think style of play would probably be the number one answer of what people are going to see. Like, why I'm going to see. Like, is I want to see.
Is it not going to be televised?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, you're going to have to go. $10 tickets. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think they'll have a pretty good crowd out there. You know, lower level probably. That'd probably be all that's open. You open it up, you know, let people get out there and check them out. But I think that. I want to see, do they get it out and go? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how fast do they play? What are they doing? I think that's going to be a big thing on what people are looking for, probably more so than the players individually, even though it does make it fun because it is always fun when you got some new pieces. And this year you've got a lot of ton. Like I said, Malik, and even Malik, you got the, well, you really haven't signed
play. You haven't seen him in 2 years.
I know, I know. So it's like, he's kind of there. I mean, and Sam even, you know. I mean, but Sam and Malik are the two that you're like, yeah, we'll see. Like I said, with Dre, you still got the freshman sophomore jump. You know, everybody around here knows that that's a thing. So, yeah, I still think how they play may be the most interesting thing. The defense, what kind of defense is going to run? Because I don't know that you're going to get a full opening, but he's having to speed up some things, too, because he's not going to be there for an entire month. So I understand that I would imagine he's probably trying to get some things in that he can coach in between now and November 5th or 6th or whenever that first game is. Because I think we looked last night, technically, he will coach in November because he'll the second exhibition game. So, they may be trying a few more things than they normally would this early because he's probably going to have to teach things in the two exhibition games that he would like to be teaching in the four games leading into the Bahamas trip.
Yeah, it is a sped up thing. I tell you what, Nikki, throw in one more commercial because I want to jump back into some football with the last segment. Like I said, I don't want to leave my Tuesday without cleaning up my football palate. Quick commercial break, middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Bill. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150 939 is the number. 939 is the station. I wanted to have a quick little conversation before we got out of here. It's kind of based on the recruiting angle that I had a little earlier, you know, as far as, you know, the style of play. It's kind of a two-headed question, Steve. We're talking about style of play. You know, I was talking about the defensive line when, you know, that's the thing you need.
Yeah.
Is that one of those things like we rush three because we don't have defensive linemen and we need defensive linemen? Is that a sell job you can get away with in college, or does that, like, do you smell a rat with that one?
No.
If you're a young recruit.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, recruiting's different though, man. Players are different, and see, that's kind of the problem, I think, is kind of.
Yeah, and I asked this question because, again, when I remember going to North Carolina State.
Yeah.
And like I said, this, it may be different in basketball, so I'm asking you that question.
Yeah.
North Carolina State, I mean, they were pack line before pack line.
Yeah.
Right? They just. It was 40 seconds or whatever the shot clock was. It was just deep. All they talked about. I'm like, dude, I'll never get to shoot the ball if I come here. Granted, they beat number one Clemson that game, but it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. But they were telling me, like, no, we need somebody that can score.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So along with the, I was like, yeah, right.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
Y'all gonna get me down here, and I'm gonna be Mr. I'm gonna be. What's your dude? The dude in the NBA that I hate.
Pat Beverly.
Pat Beverly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all gonna have me being Pat Beverly
I know.
Down here.
Listen,
I'm not doing that.
No, I think the problem is. I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, I think if you say, hey, we've got four guys, you know. But I don't think defensive linemen care as much about that.
About being doubled or style of play?
You want to be doubled, but style of play. Or you don't want to be doubled, but, I mean, style of play. And, I mean, if you get a big, strong defensive lineman, they're not they get doubled their whole career. Like, they're like, I mean, okay, you know, whatever. I mean, that's part of the game. I just think that I just think that you have to get someone that goes and gets
a room full.
A room full, yes. Yeah, I think that's more of the issue. Now, because the style, and don't get me wrong, I don't like the style. I think you have to put pressure on.
What for?
Yeah, I think you put pressure on and you make them, I mean, or God, even if you're not going to bring four, like, keep bringing pressure. When we brought pressure in the third quarter, we looked good. Like, I mean, it, like. Okay, we're not football coaches, but we're not stupid either.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't need all, like, reckless third and Granthams all day,
no.
You know. But, you know, and I, like I said, I think he's skilled with timing his blitzes.
Yeah, sure. You know? But I think at this point, though, you're losing too many games where the offense is playing well. And it's like, and this goes back into last year. I mean, last year we put up a ton of yards. You know, like, I mean, we moved the ball quite a bit. Like, and so it's one of those. And maybe, coach, you know, we can get into the offensive coordinator talk too. But I think right now, I don't think it's a move. You're obviously not making that move midseason either, like, because the offense has not been bad. So yeah. I don't think you're going to say, well, change the play calling.
And I don't feel like he's overly distracted with offensive
play
calling.
I don't either. That's why I think it's the defense.
I do think his emotion plays a part, though.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I'm willing to grow with you. I'm willing to you're a younger coach.
That's what I wanted to ask you, Steve.
Yeah.
Is this fan base willing to grow?
Yes. If you're willing to change, I'm willing to grow. Like, I'm willing to say, okay, we may look back on this in a year or two and go, yeah, and early in his career when he got leads, he got a little tight. You know, mm-hmm. It was like he didn't want to blow that lead, and he thought, and he's a purist, and he thought my defense should be able to hold him. But when he changed, I'm me in 2 years.
Yep.
When he changed that defensive coordinator and that philosophy, that's when everything changed, you know. And then he went and got him, you know, Travion Cooley now as a junior. And, I mean, he's one of the best backs in America, you know, and we're doing that. We're like, okay, like, I'm okay with that. I can live with that. But you've got to be willing to change. And that's why I think it would go a long way into making a couple changes defensive line wise and maybe even defensive coordinator. Like I said, hand it to Court for the rest of the year and let's see what he can do.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
I'm not saying he would be the guy going forward, but we'll see.
Assuming nobody's listening to us.
Okay.
What do you think the – because here's what you always worry about. You worry about – okay, there's this something. It's a little cancerous thought.
Okay.
And once this cancerous thought creeps into any locker room, I pray for the locker room. The cancerous thought is, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
When you hear a coach get criticized enough,
yeah,
it creeps into your head.
Uh-huh.
It's not my fault.
I do, and let me say, from talking to some people with family members on the program or on the team, I do think that that is a plate that's being fed.
Oh.
Now, I'm not saying they're eating it yet.
Yeah.
But I do know that that is on the table a little bit where it's like, hey, you know, well, this guy played good. Like, and now, why didn't this guy play? You know, and I mean,
don't get me wrong. There's some of that that goes on in every team and from youth league.
But
to
here's
everything.
The problem. It wasn't, and this is why I felt so bad for our players. And I thought you did a great job at saying you robbed the players Saturday. If I'm Yasir Abdullah and I'm saying, I got to the quarterback, I can get to the quarterback. And then in the fourth quarter, if I'm Yasir Abdullah and I go, you're not letting me go. What do you mean? Like, okay.
Yeah, you got me standing in the middle just.
And I don't think Yasir Abdullah by any means is one that would do this.
Yeah,
but
just in case the quarterback runs
out.
But
I do think he laid down at night and was like, I could have got him, dude. I could have pressured. I could have done that. Like, I know I could have. I did it. I mean, he had, what, 2 sacks already that mm-hmm. game? He's been getting a sack a game.
And been close to turnovers. Like, yeah. He's getting good.
Like, I mean, he's playing his way into the NFL. Like, I mean, he's doing really good. And it's like, and then can you imagine being him and you're looking and you're like, you're not going to send this. You're not going to send me. You're not gonna, nobody. Okay. You know, like, all right. And then it's like, all right, next play, you know. And then you're like, you're not going to send me. You know, like, and that's what I mean. I don't think the players really.
Yeah. Feed, like I, said,
I don't want to not blame the players either, because the players, at the end of the day, you can make plays.
Yep.
He ran the football. Look, offense, you could have got a first down. That, you know, listen, that I can also say, y'all got to make a play, too. But that's why I don't think anybody's harping offensively outside of, I would have went for it and put it on them. Because I think at that point, I think Coach Satterfield called, oh, no, it's 4th and 1. Get the freak back out there and run the football. 4th and 1, y'all go get it, man. That's why Hardball so openly says, do you want to go for it? Like, yeah, and I'm not saying he's not trying to take the blame.
Yeah, I like
but
that.
But he's trying to say, I trust y'all.
If you want it, go take it.
Yeah, do you want it? I'm going to, as your leader, I'll allow it if you want to do it. I wish we saw a little more of that, and then I could say, well, they should have got
it. What would you do, Steve?
Yeah.
If we, just like Harbaugh, if we saw that, and then we saw Malik just go, just wave it off and say no and do a kicking gesture.
Yeah, I mean.
What would you do if you saw that?
What, with Harbaugh?
If Satterfield pulled a Harbaugh and said, you want to go for this? And the camera was on Satterfield. Oh,
you would fire him immediately because the team would quit. You'd be like, are you trying to like insult us now?
No. I'm asking you if you know how when Lamar reacted. You know how Lamar was like, "Yeah, coach, just go. You know, let's go."
Yeah.
What if Malik? They had the sound of Malik, and he just said, "No, let's just punt it, coach."
Oh God, I would die inside.
Would you want him benched?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be like, I don't care who you play. But again, listen, I don't even want to put his name in that because he's been playing phenomenal
football.
He's been
playing excellent.
And that's what I say. I don't think people are really upset offensively. I think offensively, yes, they would like to be a little more aggressive. But I think he will. Because I think he's changed the offense. Things he's done already this year. I think next time he gets a 4th and 1, I think he'll go for it.
They look good.
Now, don't get me wrong. Look, if they're up 6 and it's 4th and 1, kick the field goal.
Yeah.
Go up 9. I'm fine with that. Yeah. My problem was it was 3 to go up 6. Like, they're going to score either way. Like,
Is it Jenny?
Jimmy.
Jimmy, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know, can you ever remember a game that really, really has hurt us in the past as much as this game has? I mean, you're looking at a lot of teams losing, and now we could have been 4-2, and now we're 3-3. And Marcus, another question I want to ask, one of the greatest high school teams in Kentucky is the Male Bulldogs. And my granddaughters go there, and I do a lot of volunteering up in Male. And the talent they have at Male is unbelievable. Jeff Brom's been down here looking at the kids. Wisconsin's been down here looking at the kids. UK's down here looking at the kids. And nobody from Louisville's been down here looking at the kids. Hey, Marcus, you're my daughter's number one fan, and I'm your number one fan. Scratch off Jimmy. I love the car. Thanks.
No, hey, appreciate it. Appreciate
it. No doubt.
Now, I won't pass along that rumor that nobody from Louisville has, you know, maybe they don't hold up the flag as high, which is still a big mistake, but I don't want to pass that along without knowing that for sure.
Yeah.
That nobody from the University of Louisville has visited Male.
Yeah.
But
no,
y'all need to hold that flag up a little higher.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, they have. I mean, because, you know, I mean, listen, Brown's been on a visit here. He's been mm-hmm. to camp here. You know, look, Vinny Anthony went to Wisconsin. I don't know the full story there. Some kids are just going to leave. There's nothing you can do about that. But It is becoming a serious problem that we're not taking these kids. And like I said, man, you can offer a kid like Brown. Brown has a Louisville offer. But Brown can't commit to Louisville today if he wanted to. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't even get into too much of the arguments, because it's like, okay, you've got to understand, like, in college football, that's how it works. You have offers, you have committable offers, you know. Right now, to me, it would be very simple. I'm over there seeing Sayla Brown every day. If we had, he would already been committed a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I'm over there every day, like, hey man, you coming? You know, come a little hometown, like, NIL. This is what we're doing. Boom, yeah. Boom, 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 boom. Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah, we'd already be setting up his.
Yeah, yeah. Look, end of story. Now we've got now you know what you're telling the fans.
And the moment your season ends, it's like, yeah, we're gonna NIL you a little.
Yeah, and then you're going, man, we got Papa Williams, we got Sayla Brown. Like, we got some dudes coming in on defensive line. Like, you know, you start to sell that, and it's like, it's just to me, it's one of those discussions where I want to have it, but then I also want to be like, there was a caller called in Drew Diener's show this morning, and I actually agree with him. They were like, why are we having to have this conversation? That's kind of how I feel. Why am I having to have this conversation with you? Take the kid. 3-4-star kid in the city of Louisville, take him. Just take him. Listen, unless you're going to Charlie Strong it.
Yeah.
Okay, unless you're going to bring in the number 18 class in America, and you're going to, yes, okay, you're going to spurn Ace Wells, but you're going to take Brandon Radcliffe. You're going to spurn Jalen Boyd, but you're going to take Calvin Pryor and Charles Gaines. Like, you're going to spurn, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Okay, you're not going to fool with Jason Hatcher. But you're going to get Lorenzo Ball.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to mess with Jalen Reeves-Maben, but you're going to get.
I'm trying to think. I'm sure some, that might be the one. Because I don't know that we had a linebacker better than him. You might win that battle.
You might have dropped the ball.
You might win that battle. Yeah.
Who was the linebacker?
Cool. I mean, it was decent. What it was? Gosh, man. I'm trying to think. I mean, at that time, Preston Brown. Preston Brown, you had Keith Brown.
Strong safety or something.
Yeah, I know, totally.
He's not playing a linebacker here.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, but you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. But even then, I may not love it, because even then, that brought extra criticism on Charlie at times because it was like, okay, but no, man, these boys better not be, you know.
But you go West Kentucky, and you look tougher than Kentucky.
Yeah,
everybody shuts up.
Yeah, and but see, local kids know how important that is too, and that's why I say it's one of those where I do agree with the guy. Like I was like, oh, I shouldn't have this conversation. Like, it's kind of silly. Like, okay, even the Goodwin thing. Okay, we ate it. We said, okay, the offensive line seems to be pretty good. You say you're just not a huge fan of this guy. Okay, all right. Look, every once in a while, it's fine.
Stephen Herring went to Stanford. Stephen Herring was going to from Trinity. He was going to Stanford no matter what. Okay, I can live with that. But the kids that want to from like male.
Yeah, you just want to be here. You're four star.
It's just silly. Yeah, it's just silly. It makes no sense at
you,
all.
You find room.
Yeah.
You find room.
Yeah. Look, I got a scholarship to use. Okay, let's do that. So and maybe that's something that they create. But again, I settle on this. You're not going to make a head coach change. That's to me, that's silly to even talk about midseason. But if I do think you might see either a forced change in philosophy. But see, my here's my thing. If you force a philosophy change, you might as well let them go. Because I'm going to have a hard time with you saying, dude, everything you do sucks. Do it this way. That's why I think, to me, I would let the defensive coordinator and the defensive line coach go. I would figure it out for the rest of the year, see some improvement, and then I would bring me in two good – and maybe Court wins it. Who knows?
I would be doing a lot of film.
Yeah. I mean, Court – Kayvon Thibodeau is at Oregon because of Court. Like, I mean, he can recruit. Like, he's not a bad recruiter, you know. So maybe then bring me in a stud defensive lineman coach, you know. Like, okay, go back and call Coop again and be like, would you want to be the D-line coach? Not the coordinator. I think Aaron Hodges is a good job. Aaron Hodges moved in that spot with Coop, and he's a local guy.
We need to let Coop know we're not mad at him.
I know.
I mean, that's cool. We got it. Meanwhile, he's getting ready to win a national championship.
Yeah. Keith Kelsey and James Burgess, by the way. Yeah, never mind. Preston Brown, Keith Kelsey, James Burgess. They don't want your kid.
21 tackles against the University of Oklahoma.
They're overrated.
Baker Mayfield, Heisman, Oklahoma.
He sucks.
Your receiver that you love from Oklahoma's.
Hollywood Brown.
Samaje Perine and all that.
It was Hollywood Brown CD. Yeah, he couldn't have done it here, though.
Midday for Mark Saban on 93.9 The Ville.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.